Check this baby out.
The planet has a fever.
And the only prescription is more cowbells.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Hello.
Oh, no, they're back.
Testing.
No, yeah, no. Oh, yes.
1, 2, 1, 2.
Gigi Edgley, I play Chiana on Farscape, and I'm the host of Jim Henson's Creature Shot Challenge, and you're listening to Two Downies Dudes.
Julian, what's a shithawk? Some kind of a shitty bird that swoops down and puts poop onto you.
I'm Eric.
I'm Robbie, and this is podcast number 83 of Two Downies Dudes for November 11th, 2015. On this episode, we talk about Paul Bunyan's beard, and are joined by Mr. Duché for some local news. Then Dale and Larry plead their case for a new reality TV show.
Dude.
Yeah, let's do this.
We're recording Ghetto as Fuck tonight.
Ghetto.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, we got no mic boom.
Are you saying my house is ghetto? That's kind of fucked up.
I'm not saying your house is ghetto, but I'm saying this particular setup is ghetto tonight.
This is how Two Downies Dudes podcasted, what, like fucking 3 months ago?
Yeah, well, yeah. True. I know, but we've made it big now, so...
We have
it's
a desk.
Slumming it. We're getting back to our roots.
We are. Yeah, yeah. We're bringing it back. We're going old school.
Yeah. Instead of our desk, we've got a coffee table.
Yeah, but we still got our nice mixing board.
We do, but we've got no mic boom. So, like, if I want to take a drink of that coffee, which also ghetto, Dunkin' Donuts, not the usual 44 North, I can't take a drink of that coffee and scratch my balls at the same time. I can only do
one of those tasks. Right. So if you're taking a sip and your nuts get itchy, you're in a dilemma.
Right. It's a problem.
It is a problem. You could try to do that like that. Hold the coffee cup, scratch your balls, but not spill the coffee thing. You know,
like,
what I mean?
Scratch my balls with the coffee cup.
Yeah, but it's a slow, methodical scratch because you don't want to slosh the coffee around. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, so yeah, we usually have the whole nice setup with the booms and everything.
Right.
We're having to hold the mics.
Yeah.
We also usually have 86 this and 44 North coffee. Tonight, I don't know if you saw what I brought.
I did. I saw your Subway. Yeah.
And Dunkin' Donuts coffee. I did get the macchiato.
Now, did you go Subway and Dunkin' Donuts because you knew you were coming down to Sullivan and thought, if anybody sees me, I want to be prepared to, like, fit in? Like, it's a cultural thing. Like, you're just trying to pass yourself off as one of us.
Or trying not to get robbed, because you get seen with a fancy coffee that's got a little, like,
and
heat
an expensive
sleeve
sandwich.
On it.
Yeah.
And 86 this. They're like, oh, rich guy. Friggin' roll this guy.
Yeah, that's true. You'll have, like, 6 or 7 fucking old rusted up Ford pickups surrounding you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Although, I got to tell you, when I went to Dunkin' Donuts, I was a bit surprised, because I went to the new one.
I'm surprised you went there, so I'm a bit surprised.
It was not by choice.
No? What was the point?
Well, there's nothing else open.
Oh.
Basically. So, between my apartment and here, that was pretty much my only option.
I see. So, you were slumming it because no other options.
Yep.
Because all the douchey coffee places close at like 5 o'clock.
Correct. Although, I will say, that new one at the top of the hill there... They're trying to be douchey.
New one at the top of the hill.
Yes. The new one on the right on fucking route, whatever that is.
New one on the right.
Across from the Walmart road there.
Myrick?
Yes.
Oh, you mean the Dunkin' Donuts is trying to be douchey?
Yes.
Oh, the new Dunkin' Donuts. I thought it was a new coffee shop that was douchey and staying open late.
Dunkin' Donuts is trying to, like, step into that realm and I think market their stuff to that demographic because...
You.
Well, first of all, yeah, me, basically. This is a macchiato.
Of course it is.
You know what that is.
Who doesn't, right?
Which, typically, they haven't made. They've also got this little fancy thing on the sleeve that tells you what the different drinks are.
Oh, right.
And they had that up on their board, which usually Dunkin' Donuts is not much for, like, the fancy espresso drinks, so they're...
No.
They're just stepping into that. But also, the major thing that tipped me off, the design of the place inside, it looks like a Starbucks.
You went in?
No, I looked in through the drive-thru.
Oh, okay.
They've got a wall with all these, like, catchphrases
and
words.
They got four of them.
Well, they, yeah, they got four walls.
With a roof, too. It's a nice place.
God damn you. But the specific wall I'm talking about has all these words on it, which just something that's like Starbucks-y. You know what I mean? They're all in different fonts and different sizes, and they're like, roast, bean,
right,
espresso,
penis,
drink,
vagina,
inspiration,
right,
butthole.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that.
It was like old Roman text. Butthole.
Butthole. It's so relaxing. Butthole. So, just like weird, pretentious words on a wall, hanging lights.
The word douche is in there. Subliminally.
Nailed it.
Yep. It's all over the wall.
Yeah. It's written.
So they're
all
trying
over
to attract the douchebags.
Right. And then the guy working the window, which usually you call it just like a fucking pimply faced punk kid.
Yeah.
Well, this guy, he was a barista.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
A Dunkin' Donuts barista?
Yeah, he was looking like a barista. He had the famous man bun.
Oh, no.
Which we discussed before. He had a man bun, complete tattoo sleeve, but not the colorful one.
No.
The black and white.
Right.
Which says, I'm sophisticated and intelligent.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, so like sleeve.
So you felt at home. Bun,
and the douche beard. Like, not the douche beard. I'll take that back, because the douche beard is the little, like, chin strap one.
Right.
He had the sketch beard.
Sketch beard?
Yeah, which is, like, the real patchy, kind of like mine, like what I get. Not the nice, full, wiry beard like yours.
Right, wiry.
Like, well, yours, your hair is so thick.
It looks like
beard,
a Brillo pad.
I want to grab your head and clean a grill with it. Like, you could fucking clean a grill with
that's
that
a
beard.
Man beard.
Yeah.
When a man can lean his chin down and just clean his grill off, that's a man beard.
It's coarse. Like, you could fucking sand
tell
down
me about
boards
it
with that.
I'm wearing the fucking thing, for Christ's sake. Yeah, my face on a regular basis.
Yeah, it can't be comfortable.
No, it's not. But I did get some beard oil.
Oh, did you?
I did. And, you know, the only stuff they had at this place that Audrey found, in fact, I think you turned her on to it, told her there was beard oil at this place down
Rock
on Main
Art
Street.
Shop.
Right.
Yeah.
So they had one kind of beard oil, and it was $20. Wow, that was loud. And
douchey coffee.
And when I put it on, no joke, I smell exactly like a fresh-cut Christmas tree.
Ooh,
it is.
Like that.
It's spruce all day long. That's all it smells like is spruce. And it's an all-natural oil, so I'm thinking maybe that's just like it's boiled spruce sap or something.
Could be.
Yeah.
Does it give you relief, though? Does it feel better?
It does. Huh. It, you know, the longer it gets, the better it feels. So I mentioned like a while ago when you were over last week that I was going to shave it.
Right.
You looked very discouraged and upset by that.
Yeah, I'm living vicariously
right
through your beard.
Right.
So,
and Audrey was a little upset. So once she bought $20 worth of fucking beard oil, I'm committed now. I mean, this $20 gone, so I'm keeping the beard.
Yeah,
I can't justify spending that money and then shaving this off.
Well, now you've got time and money invested.
Right,
like
right.
That thing's an investment at this point. You've got shareholders, like Audrey's
right
contributed money.
Uh-huh.
A lot's riding on this.
It is, so I'm trying. I got my beard comb. I carry my beard comb around with me.
That.
I give her a little brush now and again. It makes it feel a little better and pulls the hair away from my face some and
kind of scratches it at the same time.
It does. It kind of, sorry. I didn't mean to comb the microphone, but yeah, it kind of gives me it gives a little bit of relief. It's later at night when I'm not doing much is when I start to really notice that I'm wearing SOS pads on my face.
Gotcha.
So, but I'm going to beard it up, dude. I'm going to keep going and see how fucking far I can take this thing.
Let's get beard.
Yeah.
So speaking of beards, I won't give up where I work. I'll protect the innocent. But every single morning, I park in the parking garage, which is the third story parking garage.
Uh-huh.
And as I walk in, this same fucking guy is just like looking at me with dead eyes every morning and just glares at me as I walk in and mocks me with his fucking sweet beard.
Oh, yeah. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, Mr. Paul Bunyan.
Yep.
Who, oddly enough, we spoke about like two podcasts back.
Right.
But, it's really kind of intimidating, and I don't know, it really does seem like he's mocking me, like
he
those
is.
Eyes and
he
that
is.
Beard.
It's not just the eyes and the beard. It's the flannel. It's the beanie. It's the axe over the shoulder. It's the fucking obvious Dickies fucking, you know, work pants he's wearing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the Chippewas. He's got on the bright red Chippewas he's rocking.
Right.
It's all of that is yeah. mocking. It's very mocking.
And here I am in a button-up shirt
right.
and fancy
sleeves
pants
rolled up,
and shoes.
Tie.
Oh, yeah.
Slightly loosened at the collar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm just the common man, you know. You got to let loose a little bit.
You are the common man if you know, for like New York City. Just not down east Maine.
I'm so not down east. For one of the two down east dudes, I am the least down east person.
But I'm so much that I compensate for the both of us.
You do have enough down east and enough manliness for the two of
us.
It
spills over.
Yeah.
Yeah. My cup runneth over.
It does.
And you slurpeth it up.
Your cup runneth over with moxie. You know who actually is less down east than me, though? I think we established last Sunday at brunch.
Oh, yes. Oh, I am so glad you brought that up, because I did not want to have to be the one to do it, but it needed to be brought up. Now, yeah. I'm going to just go ahead and assume she's not listening.
Probably not.
Because
I don't think she listens.
I noticed that the women in our lives seem not very interested in listening to us outside of the relationships we're in.
No, they hear us enough.
Right. So I think we're pretty much free and clear to just
Ooh,
discuss this all
what
we
I want.
Want. Yeah, I think so. I mean, within reason. We don't want to get ourselves in trouble, but you know what I mean? So what is it we're going to talk about that happened over brunch on Sunday brunch?
Well,
I can't believe it. Breakfast is what we had, breakfast. It wasn't brunch.
Right. It's brunch time, but yeah, we were eating breakfast.
Right.
Yeah, we had a gentleman with us, a friend of ours, who is a fisherman.
Right.
Now, you know what that means. I know what that means.
And everybody listening to this podcast right now, every one of you go, well, yeah, of course. Of course I know what that means. Right.
Right. So she was not.
Let me back up for just a quick time. I want to set the stage a little bit better.
All right.
So the question was posed to this person, who has not wanted to come out to breakfast with us at all, ever, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
Right. So it's a get to know you kind of a breakfast.
Yes.
So the question was brought to him. So what are you doing for work? Right. And the answer was, of course, as we stated, I'm fishing for a guy right now. That's what he said. I'm fishing for a guy right now. Or fishing with a guy.
Fishing
right
with
now.
A guy.
Right. Fishing with a guy. Same difference. So that's the stage. That's where the question came from. And everybody at the table, everybody went, oh, yeah. Shook the head, kind of went back to looking at their plate or their food or whatever. Except for
Sarah.
Right.
Who answered his response with yet another question, a follow-up question.
Right, a follow-up question.
Yeah, what for?
Right, and he said, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, he looked
what,
at her
what
like,
do you mean?
Wait,
what,
huh?
Like to make money. What do you mean? What do
I
fish for?
I believe that's
for?
What he said.
Yeah, what do you mean, what do I fish for? So I can make a living. Yeah. No, she literally meant, what do you catch?
Right, and then she followed it back. She came back with, well, what do you fish for? What do you fish for? Those are the words that, because,
oh, yeah.
And I know this because at that moment, that's when I registered what I had just heard, and I looked back up from my plate like, wait, what the fuck did you just ask?
Yeah. You even from here?
That's actually what I think I said. So yeah, that was, it's not like she's a from away. You know what I mean? She's from Bangor, born and raised.
Right. Bangor is like, it's not far distance wise. But it's far culture. It's like a little bubble. Like people in Portland
guess.
Have the excuse because they're so far away from down east that they don't get it. But Bangor, even though it's only, you know, 30 to 40 minutes away, the problem is, yeah, it's only 30 to 40 minutes away. But the people that live in Bangor, they do not come down this way for any reason. Now, we go to Bangor. We know about Bangor and
right.
what happens there.
Because that's where the mall is. That's where the movies are. That's where the restaurants are. That's where shit is. There's shit to do there.
Right. For a kid growing up in Bangor, why would you ever come this way? They go south. They go to Portland.
Right.
They never come out here. So people in Bangor, they're pretty much fromaways.
Wow, that's a sad state of affairs right there. I mean, you would think being less than, you know, 50 miles away from Ellsworth that they would have, it would have rubbed off a little bit. I mean, it has to have some for some. There's definitely people in Bangor, you know, who know the ways of down east.
Right.
Plenty. There's got to be more than their fair share up there.
Yeah.
But I was a little taken aback by that.
Holy, yeah. That was pretty surprising.
Yeah.
I know. And I wanted to respond like, oh, octopus. Yeah, we catch a yellowfin.
I think our friend Durbin answered it best with, he fishes for compliments.
Yes. That was beautiful.
So there's that.
Yeah. Now, relating to Bangor and Paul Bunyan, actually, I heard a rumor, and I'd have to back this up, or somebody else, you can do the fucking research, but there's word that Bangor is getting a
babe.
Sidekick, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
We talked about this.
Did we?
Yes. We're recycling old news.
Holy
here.
Holy fuck. Got all.
Well, I mean, we didn't really discuss it, but we made reference to the fact I'm the one that shared this information with you.
Did you? I remember we talked about Paul Bunyan and Babe.
Yes, and that I had seen on the evening news that the town council, the city council, was discussing incorporating a Babe to the
right.
the bald onion right statue.
Now, did you mention the cost of this statue?
I did not, see, because when I mentioned it, which was, I don't know, 3-4 podcasts ago maybe, it was just in discussion. Like, they were talking about possibly doing it. So now they've obviously come up with... So it was in discussion. Now they say, okay, if we're going to do it, what's it going to cost us?
Right.
And you found out.
$3 million was the figure that I heard.
Of course. It's a statue of Babe, the big blue ox.
Yeah. Or you could, you know, repave how many roads, parking lots.
That's irrelevant, dude. Well, yeah, but you could. You could repave and roads and parking lots, and but that would be like $7 or $8 or $10 million to do that.
Well, I know, but it's just $3 million. You got to be able to contribute that to something better than a big blue ox.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Although he does look lonely. I'll give him that.
I don't know. I've seen the smile on his face. He seems pretty happy to me. I think he's a happy giant fella.
Kind of smug, really.
That yeah.
Fucking beard.
Uh-huh. He's calling out everybody's manliness who walks by and sees him.
Yeah, I know. Speaking of road conditions, I'm traveling to Bangor pretty frequently now.
You are?
The one thing about that makes it a little bit easier is that it's more like...
You get to leave Bangor at the end of the day?
Yeah, thank God. But the drive itself, the commute is not that bad because it's basically like having autopilot.
Yeah.
Because I don't have to steer at all. The grooves in the road make it so it's more like operating a train. Just right. Gas and brake is all I have to hit.
Right.
Because the grooves just fucking... It's like going to the car wash. You know, you just fucking put it in neutral and... Boom.
It pulls you.
End yeah. up in Ellsworth.
Right.
Yeah, don't have to steer.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yep. So, yeah. That's been fun. We've got other news since we're breaking news. We're just right on top of things.
Right.
Actually, we really were with the Earl Seavey thing. We had to have an emergency podcast. When it comes to perversion and pedophilia, we stay on top of stuff.
Right.
Other news, we're always like, fucking 3 weeks behind.
Yeah, well, that's all right.
So, not so current events. A man in down on Mount Desert Island, I can't recall exactly where, Northeast Harbor, actually.
Yes, of course.
Is suing his neighbors over beach access.
Right.
So, naturally, we're going to get a Northeast Harbor native, as he calls himself.
Elitist.
Mr. Duche back on the podcast to discuss this with us.
Of Duche's handbags.
Yes. Yes, Duche bags. Yeah. All right, so here's the article. Like I said, it's from October 20th, so a little while back, but Mount Desert, Maine. A billionaire who built a mansion in Northeast Harbor in 2010 has filed a lawsuit against his neighbors over access to the beach and wharf in front of his house. In response, one of his neighbors has filed a counterclaim against Mitchell Rails, denying any wrongdoing and seeking monetary compensation to cover related legal expenses and further relief as justice might require. Peabody Land LLC, which is listed in the complaint filed last month in Ellsworth as the legal owner of Rail's property at 137 Peabody Drive, argues that access to the beach and wharf some of the abutting property owners have is restricted to pedestrian traffic on a specific path that follows the shore on Rail's property. Other neighbors, the complaint adds, have no such access rights whatsoever. Whatever access rights some neighbors have to the beach are limited to boating purposes only, according to the complaint. Access to the wharf is even more strict, it adds. Some neighbors are allowed to travel to and from the wharf, but are not otherwise allowed to use the structure, the complaint indicates. The complaint seeks a court order barring people from gathering on Rails' property. The defendants have been wrongfully holding parties on the Peabody property. These wrongful parties have included loud music, fireworks, crowds, nighttime activities, alcohol, and other offensive acts and disturbances, according to the complaint. Defendants, their guests, tenants, and invites have been wrongfully sunbathing, gathering, picnicking, using the wharf, storing boats, and engaging in other inappropriate activities on the Peabody property. Rails 59 co-founded the Danaher Corp. with his brother Stephen Rails and lives in Washington, D.C. area for much of the year. Mitchell Rails has an estimated net worth of $3.5 billion, according to Forbes magazine. The company is a global firm that designs, manufactures, and markets professional, medical, industrial, and commercial products and services. The defendants in the lawsuit are Coffee Pot Realty LLC, Alexander Paul, and Peter Goriansky, the Winnestay LLP, John E. Anthony, and Elizabeth R. Rendero, trustee of the Francis H. Elliott Trust. Holy shit, is that enough, like, douchey, pretentious last names and company names? God damn, it's a mouthful. All the properties in question, according to the lawsuit, once were owned by Charles W. Elliott, president of Harvard University. Oh, wow. And one of the founders of Acadia National Park. Didn't know that. Peabody Land LLC says the complaint that it and the previous owners of Rails' property spent more than $500,000 to build the wharf in question. The wharf, built in 2007, replaced another wharf that was in such a state of disrepair that it was dangerous to use, unstable, and in risk of collapse. None of the neighbors helped to pay these costs, according to the complaint. According to Coffee Pot's counterclaim, there had been a long-standing arrangement among owners of the abutting properties to share the cost of maintaining the prior pier, which was in good repair and did not need to be replaced. Sarah Pierce, whose family owns the Coffee Pot property at 131 Peabody Drive, said Monday in a prepared statement that she and her family are deeply disappointed that Rails has filed the lawsuit. She said they have to use the beach and wharf. They have used the beach and wharf for more than 100 years. The Coffee Pot family has a perfectly legal and deeded right of way access and use the wharf and beach landing place back to 1927 and before, which Mr. Rails and his lawyer knew when he bought the property, she said. Attempts Monday to contact attorneys representing Peabody Land LLC were unsuccessful, big surprise, and was not clear from court documents if other defendants in the civil suit had hired attorneys to represent them in the case.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Duché, I believe Peabody Drive is actually your neighborhood.
Oh, yes. It's just down the road, you see, Northeast Harbor. On the way to Seal Harbor is the Peabody Drive.
Right. Now, you have a humble little estate there?
Yes. Like I said, it's a meager 75,000 square foot home. It's a lovely, lovely place for in the summer. We come on vacation.
All right. Rustic place.
Yes, of course.
So how do you feel about this issue? I mean, to me, it just sounds like
crybaby
billionaire.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Of course. Of course you don't. Of course you can't have someone just wandering around your beach area if you're summer home.
Have them what?
Wandering.
wandering?
Yes, wandering around the beach area, you see, because it clutters up the scenery, if you will. It makes things look very drab.
Okay, wandering doesn't even have an H in it, but... It's
wandering around
right,
the beach.
Okay. Gotcha, wandering. So, sounds like they're doing some pretty inappropriate things, according to this article, like sunbathing.
Well, sometimes, you see, at Northeast Harbor, we do get a little excited once in a while. You know, a few cocktails in the evening and a few glasses of wine or whatever. And, you know, what might happen, inappropriate type things.
That's what it sounds like, yeah. But I don't know. I mean, where I'm from and the way that I grew up, people got along with their neighbors and they wanted to share things with their neighbors, so something like this.
Of course, if your neighbor has the right last name, of course, then of course you get along famously. But if the name is not in high standing, if you will, then no, of course you do not want those types of vagrants wandering around your beach.
Oh, how humble! So it's probably the difference between billionaires and millionaires. Like, billionaires look down on millionaires, right?
I would not know the difference between any of this. I just know that where I come from, birds of a feather, so to speak, if you will.
Gotcha, yeah. I don't know. You always claimed before to be kind of the common man and very humble and down to earth.
Yes, of course, but... There's a difference between common and homeless, you see, so.
Okay, now, from what I understand, your poodle, your teacup poodle.
Yes, Fluffy.
She's undergone a gender reassignment surgery that you paid for.
Fluffy, of course, is now known as Philip.
Okay, naturally, I can see that.
You see, Fluffy was confused for a very long time. Fluffy seemed very confused about who she was, and you see, she would actually lift her leg, you see, to urinate. So we have decided that it would be in Fluffy's best interest if we had her gender surgery to make her a male, and of course to give her a pink lipstick, if you will.
Pink lipstick, if you will. Okay. So you thought that the fact that she would raise one leg when peeing justified spending $150,000 on surgery for a dog?
Of course. I mean, Fluffy is a member of the family. So.
Okay, yeah.
There's money is no object.
All right, yeah, Fluffy's inheritance will probably be more money than I'll ever make in a lifetime.
Of course, there are certain, banks, and there are money was moved around from estates and assets, of course, and trust funds and whatnot. And Fluffy's trust fund was looked into, but it was needed to be done irregardless.
Oh, of course, yeah. I mean, that's a pet. You don't mess with that. They are like a member of the family. So, it's safe to say you don't allow other people, especially people with a last name that you may not consider to be in high enough standard, you would not allow them to use your wharf?
Well, of course. The dock that I have that has my yacht in it and my sailboat,
right.
I would not just want any old buddy wandering around there.
Right. So you wouldn't want somebody with like a Morris yacht to come up and dock it next to your Hinckley.
Of course.
Right. But contrary, you probably wouldn't want somebody with a nicer, bigger yacht docking next to you either.
No, I mean, of course, no. Of course, no.
All right. I didn't realize that'd be that offensive, but... I mean, you've kind of made your case, and as usual, I think we all walk away more confused than ever.
Yes, of course, and it was lovely to meet you again, and I will be leaving in 3 days for the Bahamas to spend my winter, of course, and so I will see you all when the sun shines again.
All right, thank you, Mr. Douchey.
So, Douchey.
Yeah, Mr. Douchey. had some interesting thoughts on the issue, as usual.
Yeah. Well, it hits close to home to him.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, right down the street, I believe.
Right.
I don't know. It's kind of entertaining because it's just a bunch of rich D-bags arguing by the sound. Not necessarily D-bags.
No.
I won't say
I mean, do you want my input since I actually know a little bit more about this story than meets the eye?
Let's hear it.
I don't think I'm bound by anything to not say something, so let's just say I'm close to the story in a way. And the deal is, and you read it in the article, that the Coffee Pot, which is the place next door to Rails, the deal was when that land was sold, all that property was sold, and this was well over 100 years ago, that the all that property had a right-of-way to the Rails' property. And the reason being, I don't know if you're familiar with Peabody Drive. Yeah. It's the road on your way to Seal Harbor.
Oh, yeah.
It's all cliffs.
Yeah.
It's sheer cliffs. I mean, it's straight drop-offs right to the ocean. Well, the Rails' property is about the only spot where there's actually a beach landing where you could put in a wharf, you know, inexpensively, I should say. I mean, there are other properties that were involved in this that have backed out because they don't give a shit because they have their own wharfs at this point. They don't need beach access anymore. But, so the land was deeded. All these properties had in the deed, it was written in the deed that they had a right-of-way to that beached area.
Right.
And that's never changed. And this guy knew when he bought the land that was in the deed.
That's what gets me, is he probably, and, you know, there's a good chance that he planned it that way. And he was like, okay, I'll buy this property. I don't like the fact that it has a right-of-way from all these neighbors, but I'll get around that. I'll basically fucking bully them into not wanting to buy. Because that's the thing is, when you've got a neighbor that's being that much of a dick that he's willing to go to court, who's going to want to go there? Who's going to have fun anymore when you know that he's going to be sitting there, like, glaring out his window, like, look at you sunbathing and being inappropriate with your fireworks and your alcoholic beverages.
And I don't know about all that because, again, I kind of know these properties. And to be honest with you, as much time as I spend down there, I have yet to see another human being in that area or in that vicinity at all.
Right.
The other thing is that this Rails guy and his brother, now I know his name. And now everybody else does, too. But that's not the way they want it. They didn't want it that way. These are the people that, when they built their houses, built his house and currently building another house his brother is, which I can say, because I didn't sign a non-disclosure agreement.
Right.
But everybody who worked on the property had to sign a non-disclosure saying that they would not discuss who the property belonged to or who they were working for.
Super secretive.
Or what they were doing. I'm kind of close to the new building going up because I know a ton of people that are working there.
Right.
And I have tried to get information out of them, but because they've signed non-disclosure agreements, they can't tell me nothing. But all they can do is let's see, when I ask a question about something I already know, like, because I drive by there quite often, so right. I see things that are going on, and I have questions about, like, you know, the way they did the foundation, the trees and the shit, the shrubs that they're bringing in, the landscaping that's going on. They can't tell me what's going on, but they don't deny what's going on. So if I say, you know, hey, I saw they brought in, you know, whatever, fucking a 700-foot-tall fucking spruce tree the other day. They'd be like, but I don't know. So, but I mean, that's the epitome of douche. Like, you're moving, you're building a home. Now, I get it. You paid millions of dollars to have this property. Okay. I can appreciate that.
Right.
But you didn't pay for privacy. You didn't. Because if you wanted privacy, then you should go live elsewhere. Because this is Maine. This is Downey's Maine. You do not have privacy when you live here. And I don't care how much your property cost, where you come from, or who the fuck you think you are.
Right.
We're going to know your business.
That's the thing. That's what I was going to say is fucking Rails, bruh. Nobody fucking knows who you are, first of all.
Right.
Second of all, nobody gives a fuck. Like, what, bruh, I can't even pronounce Danaher, Danaher Corp. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh, geez, we don't want everybody knowing that he's the heir to the Danaher Corp fortune. Like, what the fuck is that even?
Nobody
cares.
Make
some medical products. Uh-huh. Dude, you're not fucking Matt Damon. Like,
right.
You're not.
Well, that's the thing. And you could say, okay, So we know Martha Stewart has a place in Seal Harbor, yeah, right? We know that. Everybody knows that. I'm pretty sure I know where it is. I've never actually been there. She tucked herself away pretty good in Seal Harbor.
Yeah.
She did. She put herself way up on the top of a mountain.
Right.
The road that it takes to get to her property is such a fucking confusing maze of winding roads that are like narrow and you couldn't even fit two vehicles up them.
And handmade crafts.
Exactly. So she did a good job of hiding herself in her summer home in Maine. Now, we all know she's around. We all know she has a place there. And a lot of people know where it is. Some people have even been up there before. Some people have worked on the property. Dick Wolf has a place in Northeast Harbor.
Yeah.
Dick Wolf's pretty famous. Most people know who he is.
I've been in his place.
Nobody knows this guy.
No.
Nobody gives a fuck who the fuck you are. And you know what? It's even better, dude. Nobody gives a fuck who your brother is either. Like, right. Nobody cares. Period. So the non-disclosure shit is fucking retarded. Do you really, what do you think? You're a fucking celebrity? Seriously? You think you're like a household name?
Yeah. We've got Dick Wolf. We've got Martha Stewart.
We've got John Travolta, who owns an island right off Bass Harbor, somewhere out off Bass Harbor.
Yeah. The Rockefellers.
Yeah.
They're not making it a big secret that they're here. They're like, you know, they participate in the community. They've contributed a lot. They've done a lot over the years.
John Rockefellers Jr., I think, just celebrated his 100th birthday at the Astacoo Inn in Northeast Harbor.
Oh, wow.
This summer.
No kidding.
It was in the paper.
Yeah.
It was in the paper.
Public.
Celebrating his fucking 100th, you know, birthday.
Right.
You're a fucking asshole. And you're moving to a place that's not full of assholes. We're not assholes. We're good people. And yeah, you know what? We're nosy. And we're always into everybody's business.
Right.
But that's the down east way. And you're not going to change that. I don't care how many billions of dollars you have, because you're going to take your money and stick it directly up your ass. Because we don't give a fuck, you fucking douche.
Yeah. Well, in the state of Maine, you're best off. I mean, like you said, this is a fucking small town. Like, you know, all areas in Maine are a small town,
right?
Basically. Everybody knows everybody. So don't try to pull this, you know, privacy bullshit and not letting anybody know who you are and making your fucking workers sign non-disclosure. Like, your best bet is to be a part of the community.
Right.
And it's just... Yeah, we talked about it before. It's basically, they're like, oh, the quaint little Maine, blah, 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 you know, the Maine way of life. They don't want to live, really, the Maine way of life.
No.
Because they want the positive parts of the Maine way of life. They want the view of the Maine way of life.
That's it. That's pretty much it.
But they want to live their douchebag New York way of life in Maine. They want to bring that here.
Uh-huh.
They want Maine to stay the same. But they don't want to act like Mainers do. They don't want to be friends with their neighbors and say, hey, you guys can use the dock. Who cares? Who gives a fuck, you know?
Right. Exactly. And it's not like it's a small dock. It's not like there's no room down there. You know what I mean?
Right.
They have a nice little beach area in front of their house. It's not a big fucking deal. And it's not a big deal. The fact that you're only here a week out of the goddamn year anyway, so what the fuck does it fucking matter? Right. Seriously? So what's our next big down east story?
Well, I figure we'll get Dale and Larry in here. So the next not-so-current event that we've got here. Holy dear God.
What?
Well, it was posted to our Facebook page by none other than Miss Sarah, ironic enough. This article is from January 25th of 2014.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
And nice. We're just getting on it now?
Nice and relevant. Well, no, she didn't post it back then. She just posted it, like, this week.
Oh, I see.
But it's from 2014. January of 2014.
Oh.
Even. So, yeah, pretty fucking old article. But I guess we just wanted to get Dale and Larry's take on it anyway. So the article is casting call goes out for Maine lobster fishermen for proposed reality TV show. And apparently... Dale and Larry are a bit fired up about it, so let's hear what they have to say.
All right. What's going on tonight, dear?
Yeah, it's Dale down Millbridge.
Yeah, it's Larry from down Loopback. Listen, I got a problem right out of the gate with this fucking story. Why is it that these fucking fishermen, I mean, they get all the money as it is. Now they're going to be on TV for it, too? Don't you think that's kind of fucked up?
Yeah, it's pretty much another rich folk TV. Yeah. It's like the Kardashians, you know what I mean? All these guys got all these money. They got brand new double wides and stuff.
Yeah.
Let's show real down East Maine.
Yeah, well, where's all your clam diggers and your wormers?
Yeah.
Like us, huh?
Yeah, not everybody can afford friggin' $1 million boat.
Right. That's right.
That's probably what them cost, too.
I mean, you got a camper payment. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I can't afford to go out and get a friggin' loan.
Right, plus, you got to have a roof over your head.
Yeah, bank won't give me a loan because of my first three divorces, so I'm not getting a loan for some fancy $250,000 boat.
Right, of course not. You can't afford not only that, but then you got all the freaking gear you got to buy with it and all that. I mean, you're talking about $1 million investment right there.
Yeah, and that's bullshit. I don't have the money for that. Plus, let's think about this. Who is a harder worker? These guys with these friggin' lobster boats where everything's all friggin' automated, they got hydraulic haulers and all this shit, they flip switches, or, what do I use? This right here.
Yeah, that's your cannons.
Boom.
Yeah.
I use that.
And a hoe.
And a rake.
Yeah. And a rake, yeah.
And that's it.
I know it. So and I can't even barely afford to keep my fucking clam hoe going, let alone be a fisherman.
No, Bailey, always having to friggin' do repairs on it.
Yeah.
Because you can't afford to replace it.
I'm kind of tired they get all the attention, you know what I mean?
Yeah, lobster fishermen, they're just friggin' rich guys. They got a brand new truck every year. Yeah. I got my same beat up old friggin' pickup. I got my camper payment I get to pay. They're in these sweet double wides. Satellite dish on the side of it.
Oh, yeah.
It's bullshit. That's not really showing true Maine.
Fucking TV in every room.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of bullshit.
Freaking TV's big in my camper.
So I don't know. I mean, I suppose whatever. They'll probably have a show for him, but, maybe I'll watch it. I don't know. Just see, you know, probably because I'll know somebody on it, but I don't know. I think he's kind of fucked up.
Yeah. What they going to call it? Friggin' safest catch?
That's right. Yeah. I say.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that is a good one. Yeah. I say we have a reality show for worm diggers like you.
Yeah.
You know, get you out there on the flats digging worms. I mean, that's a dangerous job. You ever held one? You know. You know what it's like. You held them fuckers. They sting like a bastard.
Oh, yeah?
Hurt. Oh, don't they hurt.
Yeah.
Jesus.
We call our show most back-breaking, gotta pay my friggin' camper payment, can't afford to have big fancy boat catch.
That's,
I mean,
no, there it is,
like,
right there.
Yeah, like we could reword it.
No, I think that's perfect.
That's pretty good.
I think you nailed it right there. I think that's the title to that show. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised. About a week from now, you probably get a call from one of them producers, whatever.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of people don't know this, but, you know, we both kind of stars already. Like, we got a pretty good resume when it comes to being on TV because I was on YouTube. I don't know if you remember that.
I do remember.
I was famous on YouTube.
I was on YouTube once.
You've been on the YouTube.
Yeah.
So we both made appearances on the YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And
I still haven't been able to find that channel. But
no, plus I saw a video of you. Your lawyer gave you that time that you got arrested for OUI.
Yeah.
You was on that.
That's
and
right.
I thought you were pretty good on there.
Yeah.
You took a couple swings at him. It was entertaining.
Jeez, maybe we ought to send them in. You know, YouTube channel stuff, and then my arrest video.
Arrest video,
Send them in to some producer down New York City or whatever.
Some headshots.
Yeah, get ourselves a show. Boy, would that be nice to have a show, huh?
Yeah. All right. Well, that's what we're friggin' doing.
That's it. We're on it. Well, there you go.
Yeah. New reality show coming out. I don't even know what.
What was it? What was the title?
The back-breaking, gotta pay my camper payment, something, can't afford a big $1 million boat.
Catch. Something like that,
It's really, it's catchy.
It is.
A nice ring to it.
Kind of rolls off the tongue.
It really does.
Yeah. So, well, that's good. I mean, we don't really need to discuss this, because since it was a year ago, I'm going to guess they didn't do it.
Yeah, nice work, Sarah. Jesus. Actually, is there a reality show about Maine lobstermen?
No, it's Massachusetts fishermen.
Oh.
Lobstermen.
Wow.
Yep.
Ugh.
Yep. Right. Yeah, I don't remember the name. Everything is on like TLC or something like that. So.
Right. Yeah, I wonder if that ship has sailed with the Maine reality shows. I don't know if that's... Oh, yeah. Play on words. Wasn't even intentional.
Honey.
But for a while there, we were getting a lot of attention with reality shows.
We were. We had American Loggers. We had Downey's Dickering. We had, Northwood's Law is still big.
That's not going anywhere.
That's not. That's
a big
show.
I think the entire state of Maine is keeping that going. The ratings that they're getting is every single individual in Maine watching it week after week.
Exactly.
Nobody else is watching it.
No.
But there's enough people in Maine to keep it going.
Oh, hell yeah. No, it's, and then what else was there? Didn't we have another? I thought there was another main reality show. I guess not. Danny's Dickering didn't survive.
No.
Not a big surprise. I mean, really, who wants to watch a show that follows a bunch of guys around reading the Uncle Henrys?
Right.
I can't imagine that that was a huge hit. Like, where was the show there? What was the show?
Yeah, I know. It's
people just talking funny, and
they really have to stretch it to make that entertaining.
And it was kind of embarrassing, being that I'm a Down East Mainer myself, because I feel like they just took the goofiest among us and threw them on television. I mean, I'm not knocking those guys, because they're just Down Easters. Like, I get that. Like, I get them. I understand them. I've grown up with them. I know them. Those are my people.
Right.
But there are those among us who don't talk quite with such a thick accent. We have a little bit better of a vocabulary. We're a little bit more presentable in public. I'm not trying to be a douchebag, but they kind of just found, you know, some characters and threw them on TV, basically. It'd be like me and you following around Pete and Bird and Do-Rag and calling it a reality show. Like,
ooh, Down East characters.
Yeah.
That would be a good reality show.
No, it wouldn't. It would be a horrible reality show. We might get a kick out of it, but I don't think the populace out
Bird
there would.
Flipping people off.
Yeah, but stretch that into an hour.
That's true. An hour of Bird flipping people off.
Yeah.
Well, then you got Pete like trying to arrest people and responding to calls that he's not really invited to. I don't know. That could go a season or two, I think.
I don't know about that. It could go a show or two.
Do-Rag walking.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's his thing.
Yeah, so. Where's he walking now? Put some dramatic music behind
that's
it, though.
That's true.
That's the thing with reality shows. It's all doctored up. You know, they'd add a little music, like suspenseful music, like, is he going to turn down this street or not? And, like, the music gets all crazy,
and then nothing really happens. The same clip of him walking over and over as the music got more climactic, and then finally you'd see, which in reality it was, like, four steps, turn, and that's it, but they stretched it out to, like, my God, that road must be a mile away.
Oh,
when
yeah.
Is he going to turn?
Alaska's the big thing now. You know, I think Maine kind of lost its place in reality shows, and now every show is about Alaska.
There is a lot of shows about Alaska.
Yeah, I'm waiting for a naked Alaska show.
But again, like, and the same deal, like, and I'm sure Alaskinians are saying the same thing that I'm saying. Yeah, you like that?
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if you, so you don't have TV because you're a douche, so
right. You
don't watch these shows, but there's a show, and I don't know, probably some of our listeners have checked it out. Called Alaskan Bush People. Okay, you've got to watch some clips of this show.
Thing?
Oh yeah, yeah. That's
Alaskan
it.
Bush People.
Yes, it is about this family, this man and this woman who have I don't know fucking 10 kids or something. I don't know. There's quite a few of them, and I'm gonna be offensive here. They are stone cold retarded. Okay, they are like the kind of people that you would just like. Avoid if you saw them coming at. Like, if you saw this family walking towards you along the street, you would know immediately that you were going to end up in a very awkward, weird, stupid conversation with these retarded people.
Right.
Okay? And they threw them on TV out in the woods in Alaska. So.
Whoa.
Yeah.
It's like Honey Boo Boo in the wilderness.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
God.
I mean, granted, they got some skills. They have some pioneer living type skills. They know how to hunt. They can build a home, you know, a log home. They build, you know, so there's some skills there. It's not all, but, you know, skills doesn't necessarily mean that you're not still retarded.
Right.
Right.
And you got to figure, too, with, you know, morons like this, you get a director and producer involved. You've now got people on the other side of a camera encouraging these people's retardation.
Exactly.
Saying like, yeah, do more of that. The
right.
Thing where you're rolling around with no shirt on.
Oh my God. You've watched it.
That's, yeah. Just a
There's a kid they call
guess.
Bear. They call him Bear. And that's literally what he thinks he's a ninja. He legitimately thinks he's
perfect,
a ninja.
Yeah.
And that's what he does. He rolls around and runs around in the woods like shirtless, climbing trees. His biggest claim to fame, and we're talking about like a 30 some odd year old man, his biggest claim of fame is how fast he can climb a tree. How awesome he is at climbing trees.
God.
He is a grown man. He's of childbearing age.
Oh, a That's scary.
He should have children that are proud of climbing trees, not himself.
Yeah.
So, yeah, these people are fucked. They're like, this is mom and dad and this whole family. There's a couple few girls, there's a bunch of boys. And they've been isolated from the real world their entire life. So they're grown people that have never really seen the real world or real people. So they have no social skills whatsoever other than dealing with themselves, each other, which, you know, makes them fucked up.
Yeah.
And then they just throw them on TV. Oh, so you know people in Alaska are like, look, we're not those people. That's not us.
Right.
You know?
Wow.
So, same idea.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we've pretty much covered everything on the agenda for this podcast. So that's all we've got for this week.
It is.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. If you like the show, let people know. Spread the word. Don't forget to like our Facebook page. Check out our YouTube channel and follow us on Twitter. If you have any questions or things you'd like to hear on the show, let us know by emailing us at twodowneastdudes@gmail.com. That's the number 2. DowneastDudes@gmail.com. If you'd like to contribute to the show, please click on the Amazon banner on our website at www.2downeastdudes.com. Again, that's the number 2, DowneastDudes.com. It doesn't cost any more, but we do get a small percentage of the purchase price. You can also feel free to donate to us directly via our PayPal link on the website. Come on, dude!